Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email this week. He says, thank you for taking my email in question. My girlfriend and I listen to you on the radio, and she respects your opinion as I do. So here's the question. I've been separated for 9 months. I'm working on a divorce. Is it okay to date? I believe it is. But she's not comfortable with being around people who know my divorce is not final. Can you help? He kind of answered it when he said, if she's not comfortable, it's not a good gig. And Pat, you have some questions about dating?
I am 58 years old, and I've been divorced for years. I was watching the Oprah show the other day, and they were talking about...
They were talking about sexual desire.
How does that factor in if you're after menopause?
Obviously, being postmenopausal, you know, you aren't going to have the same pheromones, but then the men you're probably going to be dating, they're not going to have that need to mate with you, you know, for children. How do you feel about hooking up with somebody else?
To bring Carol to your station, call John Quick at 317-432-0309. Available as a long-form talk show and in 60-second infomercials for even more revenue opportunity. Carol the Coach, truly refreshing radio, enriching the lives of your listeners.
Well, I bet you didn't know that. You know how I promised that I would get my intro over and be able to shorten it up and fix the audio on it. Well, we decided to make a new one, and I made a new one, and they hadn't gotten it back to me, so I used the old one. But what I didn't know is that the old one is a different one, and it goes a lot further than I would have had you listen. Sorry about that. I am so glad you're with me. This is Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And, you know, we talk about everything here. There is no doubt about it. If you have a question for me, if you want to be on air and you want to actually discuss your personal situation, give me a call at Carol, the coach's own cell number, 317-847-2244. We'll get you scheduled for the show. You know, sometimes I say, people can't afford psychotherapy. And when they can't, what do? Well, you listen to podcasts. You get your questions answered on the podcast, and you can even be a guest on the podcast. Does not get any better than that, except it really does. We've got a book study / group coming up this next Tuesday. That's right, this next Tuesday, 3 o'clock to 4:30 Eastern time, 9 weeks, going through helped them heal. And we all know that help them heal teaches you both how to heal your relationship after sexual betrayal. So if you're interested in that, go to my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach. It turns into Help Them Heal. Go into the workshop. You'll get a for couples or a for professionals. Go for the couples and sign up. There is still time. I want to be able to help you help them heal. Now, that being said, I've got a really exciting show today. There is just no doubt about it. I've got, out of the three authors. And they are going to be talking about going deeper, helping sex addiction and women all in the same place. You know, we know that men have had this problem forever, but the truth is so have women. Women can be love addicts. Women can be sex addicts. Women can be porn addicts. So I am so excited to have Eddie Caparucci and somebody I've never met. Have I, Heather? Have we met?
I was at your CSAT training, so I was amongst like 70 people. So you've seen my face at one point.
I've seen your face, but we've not personally met, and I was thrilled to hear that you were going to come on the show because you're one of the co-authors for an amazing book that just came out. You can get it on Amazon, and it's called Going Deeper for Women, How the Inner Child Impacts Your Love and Sex Addiction, based on our very own Eddie Caparucci's Inner Child Model work. So, guys, thanks for coming, and I want to ask you, how did you end up collaborating on this book? And I'll start out with Eddie, since it's your model. And then I have a feeling that Heather and Lacey were instrumental in making this happen. So, Eddie, tell us about this.
Well, first, let me say hello, Carol. It's good to see you.
Thank you again.
Always enjoy getting together and talking with you. It's been too long. So, you know, when the original Going Deeper book came out, and as you know, that was geared for men who were struggling with sex addiction and porn addiction. One of the questions I got most often was, where is the book for women?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I would love to have developed that. Unfortunately, I work just with men. So therefore, I didn't have that data. And I wasn't going to put things together just assuming, okay, well, I think it's these kids, and I think this might be the right approach. I mean, that would have been completely unethical to do something like that. So along the line, that's always been sitting in the background, you know, do the book. And I came across Lacey and Heather, and I've seen their background. In fact, that they've worked with this patient population before, and I approached them to say, hey, you know what? I have the model. Okay. I have some background with this. I've done some women with sex and porn addiction, but I don't have enough. Would you like to collaborate on this? Mm-hmm. And they were very excited about doing it, both of them. And they were more than instrumental in developing the book. I mean, probably about 80% of what you see in there is through their work and their efforts. And I am so proud that I was able to be part of what we put together here.
Yeah, that's a strong force, this group of women. I mean, probably the most supportive part of the listserv that we're on, where professionals can talk about cases and about resources. So Heather, from your point of view, how did you feel brainstorming this kind of idea and being able to collaborate with Lacey, Alajna Bentley, and Eddie Caparucci?
Yeah, I about died when Eddie reached out. Eddie, I don't even know if I told you this story, but Lacey and I were working on a collab. We were working on an Instagram, and Eddie had followed Lacey, and I was like, I was starstruck. And, of course, like, we met. And I don't know if you remember, Eddie, but I just felt like my face was so red. And it's like,
I do remember the first time that I did meet you, and I didn't know if you stopped breathing at some point or whatever happened, but yes, I do recall.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, if we're going to tell stories, Eddie had reached out to me in October, I believe, of last year and said, hey, we might need you to endorse this book. If we do, would you be willing? And I said, well, of course, I have to read it first. But I know and knew that anything that Eddie wrote, collaboratively or not, would be an excellent resource. I mean, truly, Eddie, you have made, for our listening audience, Eddie does workshops, he does book studies, he does group, he does individual, and you have made the lives of men so much more enriched. I think you and Jay Stringer probably have the... you are the masters in helping men to go deeper into their family of origin issues, into their trauma. And I think that was something that we were lacking in the CSAT world for a while, was we wanted them so badly to follow a model that works, but that deep personal work was not offered to them. And so your model really has, for the last 4 years, changed the lives of so many, the lives, and if I can, the wives of so many.
Well, one, I appreciate the very kind words, Carol. And, yes, I mean, I do agree. I think that we have come to the conclusion, and I think we're seeing it because the inner child model is being used globally right now. I'm blown away by its popularity. It is something that was needed, and that's why this, as we continue to expand upon it, we're expanding upon it here with women. And I don't want to take us too far off track, but just to let you know, Carol, you and your listeners,
okay,
my wife and I are working on the going deeper for the betrayed partner.
Ooh.
For how they may be influencing their inability to move on with their current betrayal.
Well,
so,
it's interesting you said that because I just staffed a case today and the therapist said, this woman is so controlling and she has to know everything and she's got to have the power. And what I said was, what have you found out about her childhood?
Mm.
And she said, well, nothing. I see them as a couple. And I said three things. I said, one, get that childhood information. I suspect there was great trauma.
Yeah.
And then two, I said, how well does she trust you? And she said, I don't think she trusts me at all. And I said, then use yourself to develop a trusting relationship. You may be the first person she'll ever be able to trust.
That's a great point. And that the child or the betrayed partner. See, that's the interesting thing about these kids. Like what we have with the men, and I really give, you know, Heather and Lacey a lot of the credit here. We didn't just take those children, those original 10, now we have 12 children, and say, okay, let's use these for the women who are struggling.
Uh-huh.
It was research and effort that we all spent together to say, okay, which one of these kids should we feed and which one do we need new children for? And so you're going to see that the original 12 that were in the men's book are not the same as are in this one. And they're not going to be the same ones that we have for the betrayed partner because it's not a cookie cutter model.
Uh-huh. Okay, so tell me a little bit about this book. You know, Heather, what do you think is the most instrumental points of this book? Because it's really about acknowledging that women have sex and love and porn issues and figuring out why and what to do and how to help. So Tell me a little bit about the book from your eyes.
I think that's a great point, Carol, that there's not enough resources. And like Eddie, I hear that all the time. And I've talked to a lot of people who are very excited about this. There's just not enough resources. And it is important for women to be seen and to belong, right? We all have that need to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And to let women know, like, you're not crazy. You're not broken. Like, this is an issue, and we do need to be talking about it more. What I like about this model is that it's one that's based very much in self-compassion. I think that's probably the first thing that I really loved about it, is because, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be disgusted at a child for acting like a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring love and compassion. But too often, we don't give that to ourselves, right? A lot of times, addicts are deep, deep in that shame. And recovery that's based on shame is not going to work. You know, we see Kristen Neff's research that anything with the foundation of shame is not going to work. So bringing that lens, and also bringing an understanding to trauma and attachment and how that impacts us still today, right? How those early years impact the day-to-day decisions that we make. So answering the why question, that's a big theme. We need to figure out why this is happening,
mm-hmm.
and then how to work with that part of us. So finding the need and the trigger and being able to get in front of the inner child who takes over when they feel triggered and leads us to bad decisions, how do we get ahead of her and help her feel valued and safe and seen and that she belongs, so that we as the adults don't go on autopilot and start acting out.
Mm-hmm. And Eddie, would you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think Heather hit on a lot of the points there. The thing is that for many women, I think the shame is even deeper than what the men go through.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do here is help to remove some of that shame,
mm-hmm.
for them to be able to look at this and say, wait a second, there's a reason why doing this. It isn't just my character. It's not just who I am. It's like, no, it's not. There are factors that played into this over your lifespan that you are subconsciously unaware of that are driving this. So therefore, again, being able to move away that stigma,
mm-hmm.
that will then be able to help them, I think, help them heal quicker.
So then I'm going to ask both of you, Heather, we'll start with you. Do you think that sex and love addiction are different for men versus women, or I guess for you, for women versus men?
Yeah. I have had the opportunity to work with all different genders, and I will say that the love piece, the romance, the fantasy comes out a lot stronger in women. And I also think that it's easier for women to identify as love addicts and not sex addicts. I do feel like the adage that says women give sex for love and men give love for sex is in some respects true, right?
So say that one more time to our listening audience. Women give sex for love.
And men give love for sex, right? So a lot of times what I've noticed in women is that there's this romance and intrigue and emotional side, so then they have sex with their partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the case, but it's more prevalent with women than with men.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the big differences.
And so, you know, we just heard Eddie say that maybe the shame runs deeper in a woman. Do you feel that sex and or love addiction is as compulsive as it is for men.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And Eddie, how about you? What's the differences and what's the similarities?
Well, the similarities are, one, when it comes to sex addiction part of it, I think it's very similar. Okay, it is not about, I guess, what this is, the intimacy disorder. These are people who are running away from and escaping from emotional distress and emotional pain that they don't, first, one, may not even understand what it is, and second of all, has been there for decades in their lives. So I think that's the same. I think when it comes to pornography, although we've seen some statistics that have shown that the usage of porn is increasing in women, especially younger women, now with all of the access that's out there, it's still, men are driving pornography usage a lot higher than women. And as Heather pointed out before, when it does come to a love addiction, we definitely see the trend is much higher in women than it is in men. To go back to your last question, though, compulsiveness, yes, compulsiveness goes across the board. Because, again, Carol, and the one thing that I've been really trying to drive home in the last maybe 3 years or so is that we as clinicians have to really start analyzing much deeper what is our client's anxiety level, because they are all highly anxious people. They may have done a great job of suppressing it, okay, and even hiding it from themselves, but it is that anxiety that continues to manifest itself that drives the compulsiveness that ultimately drives bad decision making. And so therefore we really need to be starting to look at what can we proactively do to help our clients in managing their anxiety.
Well, and you know, again, for our listening audience, we have sex addicts under the show, and we have sex and love addicts that are female that listen to the show. But we have a lot of partners that listen to the show to better understand their husband, and they may be asking themselves right now, I wonder if I have some of these attributes that could make me a sex and or love addict. So can you share some of the attributes, Eddie, that are in your model?
Right. Well, as we look at, again, we take the model and we have, what are it, 11 children, 10 children, Heather, with this model that we have?
I think 10 for us, yeah.
Like 10 for us there. They vary on many different fronts. There is the child who's not been affirmed, the child who wasn't noticed. The stressed child is one. That's one that we just talked about a moment ago. Those who have been sexually abused, growing up. So those are just a handful of things. Yes, to answer your question, Carol, I would think that the betrayed partner probably could see some similarity between things that they may have gone through and, you know, what they are going through now in their relationship here. And I'm not saying that, okay, they're struggling with sex addiction or porn addiction or love addiction themselves, but it would be very interesting for them to try to look at it and do the analysis to say, okay, wait a second, how does my inner child here, how is it influencing what I'm going through today?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll say something else too. How did my inner child influence the spouse that I picked? Because that played a part in it too. And you're deciding who you're going to wind up ultimately being with.
All right. And so Heather, Eddie deferred to you women and said, you know, I certainly have had some experience, but I wouldn't begin to know the research or the niche of working specifically with women. What do you think? What do you think when you look at clients that do have sex and love addiction? what are the prevailing children, if you will?
I think the stressed child is definitely up there, mm-hmm. and the stressed child uses love and sex to kind of feel calm, to relax, right, because their anxiety is off the charts. I think that, unfortunately, the sexually abused child mm-hmm. is higher up there as well, being women and knowing the statistics are very high. The unnoticed child also, like feeling like they don't belong. Women especially, any other gender also has this. As humans, we have this. But the need for community and support and relationships is so important that when that's not given, women feel it very, very deeply. So I see the unnoticed child pretty frequently as well.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good point that you bring up there, Heather. The idea that, you know, again, when a child feels like they're isolated, they don't really belong. They, as they get older, what they're going to do in some cases is almost anything to fit in, okay? They'll be very open and they'll be very willing to do things that may be totally against their moral compass, but the desire to want to fit in and be part of community is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That they could compromise themselves.
I see that oftentimes with teenagers and college-age women. You know, so many of them talk about the fact that they go to parties and there is porn playing in at least one, if not two, rooms. And I don't believe that's enticing people to make love right in front of the group, but it is a way of being fixated on something other than themselves, and they can be drinking and they can do it together. And women say, you know, there's a part of me that says, I don't want to be here doing this, but I want to be sitting next to him and I want to be sitting in this group of people. And that's that need to fit in.
Right.
And you know, the other thing I was thinking about, Eddie, when did you graduate with your CSAT?
No. Back in 2000, I don't remember. I really seriously do not remember. It was about, it had to be 12 years ago.
Okay, and I graduated in 2007. And Patrick Carnes taught most of the courses. And he said, by far, indubitably and undoubtedly, that neglect far outweighed abuse in terms of leaving somebody wondering, who am I and will I ever get my needs met? And
fully agree.
Okay. And I remember that sounded, I did sexual abuse work and I know how profound that was. And I thought, my goodness, what he's really saying is being sexually abused is a big issue and it causes a lot of harm, but being neglected and not being affirmed causes more. And then if you think about our training, that sex addiction and love addiction is produced from disengaged, rigid families that don't affirm, and this fits right into your inner child work, right? Let me just tell my audience that I am talking with Heather. Now, Heather, how do you say your last name?
Is Frone Miller.
Frone Miller and Eddie Capolucci. And they just put together with Lacey, and how do you say her middle name? Alana?
I think it's Alana.
Alana.
I think the J kind of throws people off, and I don't think you really say it.
Okay. So Lacey, Alana, Bentley. And these three have gotten together, and they've taken Eddie's model and his inner child work, and they have applied it specifically to women who have issues around sex, porn, and love. I won't even say they may be addicts. They really may just have issues, although certainly we see that addictive piece too.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
The moment. I want to go back to what you were saying because such a critical point.
Okay.
The idea of neglect versus abuse.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the children in the model, probably a large majority of them, I'd probably say 70%,
mm-hmm.
are more neglected than they were abused. And in a lot of those cases,
mm-hmm.
these people are neglected by parents who really are good people.
Uh-huh.
They're not bad people. They're mm-hmm. good people. They just didn't have the skill set mm-hmm. to be able to provide what these children needed from a standpoint of giving them the skill set to learn how to emotionally connect and evolve. So I'm glad you brought that up because I just think it is such a critical point.
Well, and we know with our work, we're all three CSATs, and that stands for Certified Sex Addiction Therapist for anybody who's new to the show, and we've had training specifically in this, and we know that you've got the neglected, and you've also got people that have been through abuse. In some way, they have reenacted their trauma, and they're in control now. They get to decide how often they're going to have sex and where they go for sex and who they pick for sex. And that trauma reenactment plays out in such a way as, again, it leads itself to a fake safety and stabilization of their own personhood. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And that's why I wonder, one of the children that we have is the need for the control child. And that is that child who's going to decide on their own terms. Okay, now as an adult,
uh-huh.
it's on my terms, I will decide what I will be doing and my course of action. And I will allow minimal influence from other people moving forward because the influence I received when I was younger was hurtful.
Absolutely. Again, I'm talking to the co-authors of Going Deeper for Women, How the Inner Child Impacts Your Love and Sex Addiction. And this is really a groundbreaking book, isn't it? First of its kind.
Well, I would like to hope so. I don't think we've ever seen, there's been a couple books out there that talk about women who deal with sex addiction and porn addiction, right, Heather? But we've never seen where we've taken the idea of the trauma and the inner child model of the trauma model and how that model can be used to be able to help people, again, go deeper and to answer the why question.
Mm-hmm.
Why does sex and love and porn have a stronghold on me? Because we really believe if you have the answer to that question, you are very empowered to make substantial changes in your life.
Okay. And so now, obviously, it's no accident that the three of you got together. And I'm going to ask you to own your strength. So, Heather, what is it about you that puts you in the middle of the creation of this very important book and kind of a pioneer in the field with a few other women to stand on their shoulders? What is it about you?
So Lacey and I actually met because she was my coach. I'm a woman in recovery from love addiction. So I'd like to believe that it started with me having a very genuine desire to grow and to change and to get recovery no matter what. So I worked with her for a long time and kind of became a leader in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And then with my background of being a therapist, she asked me to collaborate and we had done a lot of really cool projects. And that's how we ended up on Instagram and Eddie found us. One thing that I bring to the group, I think, is really working with all the genders quite a bit. You know, Eddie works primarily with men. Lacey works primarily with women. I've worked the whole gamut.
Okay. So it's your eclectic nature with this kind of work and your own personal recovery that has provided this beautiful blend. Okay, and Eddie, what do you think has been your, what are you doing here today? How'd you get here?
Well, you know what, Carol, you remember, I think I told you once before when I was in school, I listened to you every one of your podcasts. I learned so much from you. You were my hidden mentor. But the reason I'm here is because, again, having my own goal and being able to work through those, I understand the depth of the pain that these disorders cause other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to help those who are struggling to be able to move beyond it. And in many cases, I see people who are just stuck. They're just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, whatever I can do to help to just give them a nudge out of that so that they can go back to living a life where they can breathe again, where they feel a sense of peace within themselves, that's why I'm here.
And remind me, how many books have you written? Is it 3 or 4?
5.
This guy's kicking them out. I mean, just kicking them out. Although it really helps when you have co-authors that do a lot of the work for you.
Oh, it does. And this is the second one I've got a co-author with. And yes, it definitely does help. So.
Yeah. So I bet you've been very blessed to have these women and their perspective. And, of course, they're blessed to have you because Eddie's not old enough necessarily to be a grandfather, but he is. Was it Charles Whittenfield, the inner child?
The inner child, yeah.
Yeah, the inner
child.
Yeah.
The child with.
And that was the Bible on inner child work, just in general. It applied to all of us. And then you did what I think we are doing as pioneers in the field, all of us, and we're making it very specific to sex addiction and partner betrayal. And so women, men, addicts, love addicts, porn addicts, I just realized something today as I was writing out what we were going to be talking about. Blog Talk Radio, the second oldest podcast foundation, would never write porn. Because they wanted to keep things pure, it wasn't that they were puritanical, but I don't think that they wanted podcasts to come on and exploit pornography. So they would put ORN, you know, so that people couldn't find it. And today, I just realized this must have just happened, that pornography and porn, and I discussed it in the details of the show, was fully spelled out. So I really do think we're looking at an education. This is epidemic, and it only makes people feel worse about themselves. You know, I know we're supposed to be porn neutral and sex neutral, but when somebody develops compulsivity, they can't stop, and it becomes a driving force, and it's not healthy. Nothing should be the driving force.
Agreed.
So would each of you, as we wrap up the show, would each of you say something to our listening audience that you think will speak to them? Heather, I'll let you go first.
Knowing that you're not alone and that you deserve love and compassion no matter what you've done and you are not your worst mistakes. And I know if Lacey was here, she would say, find the community, get plugged in, find people that you can share your story with, and do that because you deserve that.
Oh, that's beautiful wisdom. I got to say, I just had a partner that said to me, why did you recommend 12-step fellowship and a sponsor? I don't want my husband hanging out with those dudes. And I said, well, you're in the driver's seat. However, I don't know that people can get healthy without that kind of community. So you're shooting your foot. Let's see if we can't find some good examples for your husband. Now, Eddie.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. First, before I go into that, I just want to make a correction. I am not a CSAT. I'm a CSAFU. I'm a certified sex addiction specialist. But to talk about what you're saying here is that my words would be that to understand that what you're going through is not something that you're just driven by because it's your nature. This is a compulsive disorder that you're dealing with, and it is something that developed far, far long ago, way back when, in ways that you may not even recall, that may all be subconscious. And I think that you owe it to yourself to do that exploration, to do that self-reflection, to be able to answer the why question. Why do I think, feel, and do the things I do, because as I said before, that will empower you. Having that knowledge, having that wisdom to be able to make healthy decisions as you move forward with the rest of your life.
Well, and if we can elaborate, you believe women have more shame. Remember, this is their mm-hmm. new book on how to work through the inner child work so that you don't develop or continue to support love, sex, and porn addictions. For women, they have more shame because?
I think it's because the way that we are socialized, right? Like, we are supposed to be the
nurturer.
The nurturer. I was thinking, like, Madonna, is that the right term? We are supposed to be the pure ones, the wife, the mothers. Like, we're not supposed to be sexual. If we are sexual, we are called lots of terrible names. Mm. Well, boys can be boys, right? They're just being boys. That's what they do. So it's kind of expected behavior for men, but not expected behavior for women to be sexual. And then in this case, be compulsively sexual. And I like, Carol, how you distinguish the two, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with healthy sexuality. It's when it becomes compulsive that it's a problem. So you've got this negative stereotype stigma mm-hmm. that, you know, you're not supposed to be sexual. You're a mom or a grandma or a teacher, whatever.
Or you're just a woman.
Yep, you're just a
woman.
Mm-hmm.
There is a double standard that comes with that. You're right. It is societal. It has been, you know, since the beginning of time. But, you know, the crazy part about that is, okay, boys are boys and they're supposed to do that. Well, guess what? We can't do it unless there's women to do it with. So, I always kind of struggle with that idea. But again, but the shame element, once you start to understand there's more of work here that's driving your behavior,
mm-hmm.
that is going to just free you of so much of the toxic shame that you've been living with, you know, for so long.
And so, again, we're talking about the new book, Going Deeper for Women, How the Inner Child Impacts Your Love and Sex Addiction, written by Eddie Caparucci, Heather Kronmiller, and Lacey Alana Bentley. You guys, thank you so much for sharing some of this stuff because we want to highlight what women have to deal with too. And it's a beautiful blend of inner child work and resources to get everybody healthy. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Carol. God bless you.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So that is, and continues to be, some of the premier people in our field. And I learned something today. I thought Eddie was a CSAT, but he's a CSAT. And that's a specialist. And that's a whole nother organization. And God bless all of our organizations that have made it their mission to really specialize in this kind of work. This is not something your average counselor or coach can treat. So I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and I will see you next week. Don't forget, if you want to work with me on Help Them Heal, come to my book study, my group, 9 weeks, 3 to 4:30, starts next Tuesday. Love to have you. Just get on that website. And, of course, that website is www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. I am Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, and as I say at the end of every show, there will always be one of you at all times so fearlessly has the courage to be yourself. It's all about inner child work. And you shine, so shine on, and see you next week.